Previously on Taz Royale. 63 spells will be purged from the face of the world, ensuring that the unchecked magical annihilation that claimed the Earth does not repeat itself within the borders of the Fold. People are dying in there. I don't know what's happening to their spirits. I am not shepherding them to the great hereafter. The format of this forthcoming trial will be a duel. You and your single opponent will square off in a no-holds-barred combat in an arena randomly assigned to you. You will have until dawn tomorrow to choose your opponent. If you win your duel with them, you will receive a golden award.
What will the loser of the duels receive?
Death? Hey guys, welcome back to the Adventure Zone, Taz Royale, our Battle Royale winner-take-all season. We are between trials at the moment. After finishing up the trial of transmutation, you all have just learned that your next trial will be the trial of conjuration, which will be a duel against an opponent of your choosing. But they have to agree to it too. You are sort of in that nice rest period between days of the trials. Right now, Lorevith, at the end of the last episode, you accepted the dual challenge of your old friend and rival, Gracon, and that was the last thing that happened. So you all have the day here to do whatever you would like. We will do some shopping here towards the
back
half of the episode, a little montage. I have also leveled you guys up to level 5. Well, I have told you guys to level up.
Yeah, I was going to say, Griffin, I had to click the button that increased my hit points by like 6.
I don't think there's any big sort of wizard features that you get at 5, but you
shouldn't
do.
Shouldn't there be at 5? Well,
it's so weird how, like, I feel like level 5 for the martial classes is when you get, like, extra attack. That's pretty cool.
The wizard should still be trying to reckon with the fact that flame leaps from their fingers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I should hope that you learn some new punches, you know, at some point.
Yeah,
so it's an emotional leveling up as much as...
Right.
I mean, really, if they wanted to balance the whole thing out, they would make it so, like, when you hit level 10, that was the highest your hit points were ever going to be. And then as your character got older, they would kind of start to lose hit points as they leveled
up.
That's
cool.
Because, like, I'm 42. I don't feel healthier now than when I was 21.
Yeah, 21 is definitely around where you peaked. You do get access to level 3 spells, which we will maybe get some of when you guys do your random draw later at the atelier. But as for right now, who would like to go first and do something here with this day off? It's up to you guys.
Helgrammer would like to go looking for Dr. Legume.
Okay. It is just
the hunger
after
with
the...
which you want to kill Dr. Legume, Dad. You asked about him at the end of last episode, and this episode, like the first thing. You're like, yeah, me. I want to go and challenge him to the death.
I think you asked if he was one of the 24 living aspirants at the end of the last episode, like as soon as we hung up.
Yep.
And yes, he is. It is, I will say, just after this kind of opening invitation you all received to the ziggurat that morning. People have dispersed and started to go their separate ways. You find Dr. Legume. It takes some looking around. You have to ask some folks if they've seen him lately. But you do find Dr. Legume, who is again, it is Mr. Bean. And when you find him,
he has a turkey on his head.
He does not. He is shirtless. And he's hung up his, you know, gray suit and red tie sort of on the cliffs next to the falls, where he is sitting underneath, engaged in just like a deep meditation. He is ripped. And you don't know if this is like, if he's just been getting jacked since this whole thing started, you know, a week or so ago at this point. But he is...
Any battle scars?
Yeah, dude. I mean, he looks incredible and intimidating and cool in the torso area. This is your first time seeing. He's got a tattoo, too.
Oh, of what?
Sleeve. Full sleeve. Of what?
Yeah.
It's a fucking magic wand that is jabbing through a skull.
Whoa.
Smashed through a skull.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And it kind of wraps around his arm.
Yeah, and there's a speech bubble coming out of the skull's mouth, and it says, "I'm dead and you killed me, Dr. Legume." So that's where he is.
Is it a mantis skull?
No. What? No. Why would it be a mantis?
Because dad's a mantis.
I don't think dad's really a mantis, is he?
He's mantis-ish.
He has lots of different bug
inspirations.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you find him, you approach the falls, you see him meditating underneath the powerful water flow. He does not seem to notice you as you approach.
My dear doctor? Hello, Dr. Legume?
He holds up a finger, silently, telling you to just chill for a minute.
Right, okay. I can't whistle because my chicken will not allow. I'll just sit here.
His eyes shoot open. He looks at you. He shoots you a nasty look. He holds his palms upward and levitates upwards into the waterfall's flow, landing next to you by the cliff where he has hung his outerwear. He takes a look at you downwards now. He's, like, gotten huge, and he says,
"What?"
Doctor, I realize that you and I have not gotten off on the right foot. I come to you with a rather bold idea. I don't know if you heard of what transpired when we were thrown up into the air. Have you heard any accounts of what,
I heard that I heard you fell down like a baby. You went down like a baby and cried like a baby.
Yes, that's exactly right. It was bug versus baby.
Everyone called you Larva Boy in my group.
Yes, I've heard that. I have had a revelation, Doctor. I don't belong here. I have no business being in this competition. My illusions of grandeur were very much illusions. I saw how small and insignificant my world is, and how even more small and more insignificant I am in relationship to it. I have to get off this whole world, and I think I have an idea how to do that and to allow you to advance in this competition without actually killing someone.
I have no reservations about killing anyone.
Oh, well, see, then this will work right into your plan.
He kneels down and puts a hand on your shoulder. That's how huge he is now. He says,
"I was like you once." "I was afraid. I had not stepped into my power yet. Brother, you gotta hit the gym." That's where I found myself. If you are sure you do not possess the strength for this world, you must find that strength, and I will tell you where I found it.
Mm-hmm. In the gym, may I
In the gymnasium.
In the gymnasium, yes. Look at my arms. Do you see any possibility of muscles there? No. These are spindly little protein chitin. There's nothing for me to build up. Chitin. It's not chitin?
You should really know.
It's organic.
Yes,
he's the one who has it. Maybe we've all been pronouncing it wrong all these years.
Well, in my language, it's...
Beautiful and sonorous.
He dries off with a towel and gets dressed. He says,
so what's your idea?
My idea is that we mutually agree to challenge each other. And we somehow arrange it so that our duel takes place near the edge. And you cast your feather fall on me. And I jump off the edge of the whole damn thing and gently drift to the ground and never, ever have to set foot on this damnable floating island for as long as I live.
Do you think that's going to work? It seems like they would have some sort of measure to stop people from just doing that.
Well, I would think good sense would be the measure that people would have to not jump off the edge of a giant floating city.
That's a good point.
I am desperate. I cannot function. I mean, just having this conversation, just standing here so near the edge... And we're not that close to it. And looking over a graveyard to see the edge.
It's super spooky for sure.
Give me an insight check, please.
That's pretty low. Five.
Five. He is really studying you right now, and... It's hard for you to read his exact body language. Such an enigma is Dr. Legume. But he kind of is. He considers your offer for a little bit, looks you up and down, and says,
"This isn't some sort of trick, is it? Not some sort of ploy."
No, this is not a ploy. This is. I need out, Doctor. And I assume that, are you a doctor of medicine, or is it like an honorary thing, like, you know?
It's like how DJs and MCs will call themselves, like, Dr. Fat Beats.
Oh, yes.
It's made up, but make pretend.
I assume you're not bound by any Hippocratic oath or any
The only oath I have sworn is to that of the Iron Church.
And he flexes again, and his shirt tears. He buttons it back up.
I wish you would consider this. If nothing else, look at it as an easy victory then. I don't know. I'm desperate at this moment.
I don't want you to blow up your sort of spot, but I kind of need to know if this is a deception or a persuasion situation. You know what? You rolled the insight check here.
How about a persuasion? That would seem to cover any angle.
Well, if it's a lie, then it should be. If you are trying to, if this is a ruse of any kind of way, then I think a deception would be. Why don't you just roll, actually? Just roll a d20, and then you can add, you know, whatever stat modifier to it without having to sort of clarify.
Okay.
I will roll a private insight check for him.
19 plus 2, 21.
Okay. He says...
There's nothing to consider. I don't know who else here I would take on. I have had some sort of cursory conversations with Franklin... But honestly, that orangutan scares the shit out of me. And so I like my odds with you, and I'm happy to help you make your flight from the island. As long as you don't try to double-cross me. Because if you do, I will have to bring the hammer down.
I understand.
This arm I call the hammer.
Yeah, what's the other one called?
The slammer.
The slammer and the hammer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the spindle and the bindle, so you can shake either one that you want.
He holds out his hand with the grimoire gauntlet on it.
Okay, and I hold out the bindle, which has my grimoire on it.
Okay, as you clasp hand and claw, you see as the pattern, a silvery pattern, begins to spread upwards from your forearm, actually from your elbow, where the kind of like elbow pad kind of spiked into your elbow when you first had this gauntlet applied, and travels upwards all the way up to your palm and crosses over into his pattern, locking your decision in.
Okay, so we, whatever arena we end up at, we'll just make sure that we are close to the edge.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds good. When you get back down below, will you do me a favor?
Of course.
I want you to go to my hometown, and I want you to tell everybody how big I got.
Oh, yes. Do we have anyone of artistic merit that could do a sketch, or...
Some self-sketches if you'd like.
You are just a Renaissance man, aren't you?
I really wish you'd gotten a chance to know me before this. Yeah, I really do have a lot going on, but it seems like
I regret that as well.
We've only sort of intertwined during moments of extreme sort of tension.
Ironic, isn't it? Isn't it ironic? We probably could have ended up best of friends.
Well.
Nah, probably not, no.
All right, you have locked in your opponent for the upcoming trial. Let's hop to whoever wants to go next, Justin or Travis.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I need to talk with Gakon.
Okay.
I asked him to come meet me at my home, which is, of course, a small craggy rock that's near a ledge.
Yes, you have, I mean, your tent is, on the outskirts of the residences, but, you know, if you've been sleeping just somewhere on the mountain, I think that is reasonable, too.
Yeah, I just asked him to come meet me.
Okay. You invite him to meet you in the mountain crags at the top of the falls. I think if you were paying close enough attention, you could have seen this exchange between a huge and shirtless Dr. Legume and Helgrammet down below. But you are up at the top of the falls, and at the appointed time, you hear the unhindered footsteps of Gracon just walking up the side of the mountain like a mountain goat up to your position. As he sees you, he says,
Lorevith, I trust you've been readying your body for the contest at hand.
Well, if I can be quite honest, Gracon, I've been preparing my spirit more than my body.
Okay, I suppose that's... What does that mean?
You'll agree, both are important.
Like you've got saved?
So, Gracon, I brought you here today to speak with you about a matter of some import. If you'll indulge me, it's not directly related to our battle, and I can assure you the conversation we're going to have will not impact the battle in... well, any meaningful way, from your perspective.
I appreciate that. I don't want there to be anything sort of getting in the way, muddying the waters. We must find out who is stronger. It is our sacred oath, and I won't hear of anything that would interrupt that.
Right. Yes, Gracon. So, here's what I wanted to discuss with you. If I, in my heart, am correct about my belief about the outcome of our contest tomorrow, if in fact all that I have spoken with about our contest I seem to be in agreement, that I will of course come out on top. That's the outcome we're all sort of expecting.
Who when you say we all, who exactly are you talking about this with?
You know, Gracon, I started with friends and acquaintances that of course would be predisposed to supporting me, but even as I delve deeper into your about to say friends, as it hardly seems apropos. Limited acquaintances that you've made here. Still, my prowess was favored by all whom I surveyed. Straight up odds making. Just, that's a... Everyone seemed to think that I would win.
There. Can you give me a deception check,
sure,
please?
It's not relevant, but yes, I will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious about how this hits.
I guess it's deception, and yes, it is a 5.
Yeah, okay, he's kind of like, okay, I'm...
The point I'm making... I can tell from your disposition that you're not buying it. The point I'm making is this, Grokon. I have recently had a huge life change, and I needed to speak with you about it. You see, you have, to this point, only known me as Laura Vithgonj Bondream Wanderer, hero to all he knows, beloved friend, skilled lover. But now, Grokon...
I did not know about the last part. Congratulations.
Now you roll for deception.
A 6. He definitely knew that you fuck like an angel falling from the sky.
Congratulations on being a superior lover.
But that's not the point, Grokon. God, you get so... I used to be like you.
No, the point is... I stand before you, Lord Vithgold Bondream Wanderer, the father. And should something befall me tomorrow, Grokon, during our contest, in the extremely unlikely event... that I am to fall to you, Grokon. I need you to know that by our traditions, you will be the father of a boy named Uber Sweetleaf.
No, yeah, I know about our traditions. If you kill someone who's a dad, their kids become your kids.
Right.
And I'll be honest, that policy works amazing. It's one of our best innovations.
I used to be such a fan until it backfired. To see it misappropriated in this way. You always think it's such a solid play until it blows up in your face.
So Duba Sweetleaf, that's the little knee-high sort of stoner guy. An adult man, right?
Sorry?
That's the adult man who imbibes... about his own body weight in this.
Found this with humans, Grokon, but their age is indecipherable. To me, they all look like the Tiger Beat cover models. I have no idea of the boy's age.
He is a competitor, Lorovith.
Grokon. He's my son, and I'm responsible for him since I killed his father, whose name embarrassingly escapes me. I'd prefer you not tell the boy that. But please, Grokon, I'm asking you personally, please, Grokon, if you are able to conquer me in the field of battle, which you will by all signs not be able to achieve, will you take Duba Sweetleaf as your ward and raise him in the manner befitting someone of his great import, which I currently believe could be the most important boy in the world?
Why do you believe that? What is it that has happened that has made you think that?
His ex-dad was so adamant that Duba had to be protected, and I wish that I had grilled him, in hindsight, a bit more about the boy's intended purpose, his fate, what have you. But I do know he may be the most important boy to ever live, or at least this is the supposition I've been operating under. So, Grokon, I need you to promise that if you're able to kill me in the field of battle, that you will raise Duba Sweetleaf as your own.
Okay, I plan on winning, and a lot of the people...
Well, of course, Grokon, you wouldn't be the Grokon I know if you'd given up at this point. Where would be the fun in that? But of course, you're a realist too at heart, yes?
I'm going to ask you a sort of hypothetical kind of situation, and your answer is going to determine my answer. Is that satisfactory?
Seems fair enough.
you defeat me in this contest. You go on to pass the next handful of trials until, at the very end, standing atop the ziggurat, bathed in blood and sunset light, stands you and the only other remaining aspirant to Bittersweet Leaf. What happens next?
Well, then, Gracon, Duber, and I get the fuck out!
What do you mean?
I haven't thought that far ahead, Gracon. I'm just asking you to take over the boy, his tutelage, his tutoring, maybe pay for his college.
What do you mean, get out, before you have claimed victory in the contest, Lorvith?
Well, I...
Why did we come here if not to win and claim the powers of godhood?
Listen, if you're asking me if I... Listen.
Gracon, listen.
Are you listening?
Gracon.
It doesn't seem like you're listening.
Gracon, I haven't thought this far ahead. I'll be honest with you, and I... Listen. Here's the thing, Gracon. We can only experience the time that we have directly in front of us, Gracon. Currently, what I am thinking about is keeping Bittersweet Leaf safe in the unlikely event you're able to defeat me. What happens after that? I don't know, Gracon. I'm trying to stay focused on what's directly ahead of me, and directly ahead of me is I need to make sure if something happens to me, someone will be concerned about the fate of Bittersweet Leaf.
We're going to have a strength contest right now.
Hell yeah.
If you could give me just a strength check, please. The number you are trying to beat is a 16.
I got a 17.
Ooh. Okay. Those numbers are very, very close. He grabs you by the lapels and... takes like a couple big steps forward. It seemed like he was trying to like dangle you off the edge of this cliff, but you have managed to keep your footing, and now the two of you are just kind of like pushing into each other, kind of locked horns style.
Do you feel it, Gracon? You feel that you can't win. Do you know why? We used to be equally matched. You feel it, Gracon? Look in my eyes. You know why you can't beat me anymore, Gracon? Because I care about something smaller than myself.
This contest, whatever you and I are, whatever we have built, the challenge that we have spent our lives creating here that will unfold tomorrow will be worth nothing if victory is not your primary desire. You need to get your head right. I will take no pleasure in killing you. If you roll over and die, do not waste this. Do not waste this.
He's gonna let you go. And start trudging down the side
of
the mountain.
Wait, I got something! Wait, come back! Gracon, wait, I have something! Gracon!
He climbs back up.
What?
I didn't think he would come. Fuck.
All right.
Never mind.
He marches back down.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Max Fun Meetup Day is on Thursday, April 23rd. Max Funsters from all over are getting together to hang out and celebrate their favorite podcasts. Want to go and meet some friends who like similar stuff and care about the same things as you? Head to MaximumFun.org/meetup to see where and when your local meetup is. Don't see one nearby? Host your own and make some new pals. All you need to do is pick a place that can hold a small group. A bar, cafe, park, library, wherever. Then fill out the form at MaximumFun.org/meetup. We'll add you to the page and help get the word out. So go to MaximumFun.org/meetup and maybe we'll see you on April 23rd.
Hello, this is Alden Ford.
And Mujan Zulfikari.
Two of the creators of Mission to Zix, your favorite improvised, obsessively sound-designed sci-fi sitcom here on the Max Fun Network. And the news is...
We're back! With an all-new miniseries set in the Zix universe, The Young Old Derf Chronicles.
Yeah.
Will Derf find his own killer before it's too late?
Ooh.
To find out how that question could possibly make sense, well, sure. You just have to tune in.
Yeah, and as always, it's ambitious and labor-intensive to a frankly absurd degree.
Indeed.
So if you are looking for a little break from your own galaxy, we would love for you to check it out.
That's The Young Old Derf Chronicles. Search Mission to Zix, Z-Y-X-X, in your podcast app.
Or on MaximumFun.org.
Keep it fresh.
Rictus, as soon as the announcement of the duels and the challenges and stuff was made, he knew exactly who he was going for. His nemesis? His rival?
Sure.
Formaggio Bucatini.
Dr. Legume.
Oh, but then that guy's taken. No, he's going to seek out the gentleman.
Okay, you have to walk past Formaggio Bucatini to get to the gentleman. You, like, brush past him. The gentleman walks out of the ziggurat as soon as this opening sort of discussion has ended. You brush by Formaggio Bucatini. He's wearing this tall chef's hat.
Yeah.
And as you bump into him, you see it kind of, like, wiggle strangely, and he grabs it and pulls it down real tight on top of his head. He says, "Hey, watch it.
Next, you're on the list. Next time. From Maggio."
I hope you guys remember that. That's a big breadcrumb.
I smacked the hat off.
No, don't.
No.
No, don't. You can't do that.
That would be mean.
All right. You are going after the gentleman?
Yes.
The gentleman is walking down the ramp of the ziggurat and heading towards sort of the eastern edge of the island, towards the atelier and the apothecary and all that.
Whizberry, can we talk?
He turns, stops, looks at you, squints his eyes for a second, and says, "I have business to conduct, Rictus. I suppose we can do a walk and talk. Whizberry is the town from which I hail, by the way. It is not my name, and I
What is it?
You may call me the gentleman from Whizberry."
That's not your name either.
Yes.
Like, well, if I made you call me the heir to the breathless fields, like...
Is that the title that you wish to be called by?
No.
I do not mind. Okay. Put a little bit of ceremony on our...
Oh, my God. I was going to be so civil during this, and you're just such a rockin' douche.
Okay, well, why don't you go and set my house on fire again, Rictus?
Why don't you try to kill me and my friends? Why don't you steal my key?
That was, again, for the contest, to ensure my own survival. Right now, what you're doing doesn't seem to have any bearing on the game whatsoever. So, again, I must conduct some business. We are slowing down for this conversation. He keeps walking towards the atelier. I gotta get my spells in order. I need to get my magic stuff. I you understand. So what is it that you want, Rictus? I bet I can guess.
I think it would be best to get this out of the way.
You say the words, Rictus. I'm not going to fill in the blanks for you.
I think that we should challenge each other. I think it's inevitable, whether it's in this fight or the next or the next or the next.
He stops sort of right in front of the flaps leading into the atelier tent, and he turns and he looks at you, and he smiles, and he says, No, thank you. And he walks into the tent.
Coward.
Okay, he says. Just kind of brushes you off, walks in.
I rush in after him.
Okay. You head into the atelier, and he is doing his best to kind of just, like, go about his business in here, looking at some of the things on the shelves, eyeing some of the crystals behind the counter. He says, you are not going to give this up, are you?
When you go into one of these trials, do you look and see if I'm there?
I can't say that I do, Rictus. Insight?
Yeah. Insight check. That's a natural one.
He's telling the truth. He does not. He doesn't give a shit about you, man. Does not think about you.
Okay. Well, how about this?
I'm flattered, though, Rictus, if that's how you think of me. I didn't know I lived rent-free in there, but that's kind of cute, honestly.
If you do not accept my challenge, and I win, and you win, then in every trial moving forward, not only will you have the challenge of the trial, but if I am there, you will also have to deal with me. So why not get it out of the way when it's what the trial calls for, rather than being distracted and taken off of your goal by me trying to kill you?
I think this has got to be an intimidation check, please.
Well, it's not intimidation. I mean...
Travis, you just said that you'll have to fucking deal with me every trial after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a logical argument for him.
You're making a logical argument of a... It is a threat, Travis.
Something
this is
that
a threat
I had to learn, Trav, as an adult, is that the way we say things matters, too. You know?
Yeah, I think I learned that on Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. Let's see.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
There we go. Okay, a 15 plus 1 is 16.
I'm not going to make you roll insight for this. He's scared of you. And he was before you said the shit you just said, but you can tell, like, he is turning you down because he is scared of you. He drops what he's doing and he turns to face you and he says, look, Rictus, I recognize that this is not the most courageous position to take, but I am who I am because I am a pragmatist at heart. I have an ability the likes of which the world has never seen, and for whatever reason, you are able... with some effort, I hope, to resist that ability. So why, Rictus, why would I face you in a duel to the death when I could take on any one of the other 22 aspirants here who have not already partnered up, who will be unable to resist my ability to freeze time? Why is that, Rictus? Why would I do that?
Because if you agree to not use your time magic, I would agree to not use... my necromancy or invisibility.
I'm not going to agree. Rictus, I don't want to die here. I want to win using every power at my disposal, including the incredible power I have to manipulate time. I'm not going to... He sighs. He says, you're not going to drop this, are you?
No, I think I made that clear.
Okay. He stops, he thinks. So you won't use any of your inherited necromantic power from the great Ravenwood family line, and I won't use my ability to freeze time. That's the conditions of our duel?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good to me. He looks you down, he holds out his hand.
That was a quick change.
You can give me an insight check if you want to.
I do. That is a 13 plus 2, 15.
Oh, he's lying. He is lying. He is lying to you.
I talk to the helper in my grimoire, whose name I've forgotten.
Chris.
Chris?
this floating sort of crystalline hologram appear over the central gemstone in your grimoire, and you hear a voice say, "Hi there, Rictus. What can I do for you today?"
We're going to engage in the challenge for the duel tomorrow, but there are some conditions that we're swearing upon. Is there a way to ensure that via, like, the abilities of the octave so that there is no subterfuge or cheating?
Unfortunately, we are not able to place special restrictions on your duel that we would not put on anyone else. It is not in the octave's interest to interfere with this contest of strength. Instead, they will just sort of observe the results. But you can just sort of, you know, promise, make a big promise to each other, and hopefully your opponent will hold up their end of the bargain. Who are you? You see the crystal turn a little bit towards the gentleman and say, "Oh, okay, I wouldn't, Rictus, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I wouldn't listen to anything that guy has to say and take it at face value."
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. Is there anything else I can do to help you today?
What time is it?
It is 11:03 a.m.
And what's, like, the weather?
It's gonna be a hot one.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Chris. Could you set a reminder?
Sure, what do you need reminding of?
Tomorrow, kill the gentleman of Whizberry.
I think he prefers the gentleman from Whizberry.
How about just, like, the gentleman of Pissberry? How about that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Setting a reminder tomorrow morning to kill the gentleman from Pissberry.
Thank you very much. And I shake the gentleman's hand.
Okay. You, again, see these silvery vines growing upwards from your elbow pad of the grimoire upwards, up your wrist and across your palm into the pattern formed by his grimoire, and your opponent is set.
When I do it, Griffin, I kind of bend one finger and it tickles his palm.
Oh,
so it feels weird and gross, you know what I mean?
That's, yeah.
Get
he
him.
Pulls his hand back. Ew.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
And my fingers are always
cold,
too, so fucking deal with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely the worst. He marches off. Hell Grammet and Lord.
I stuck a note to his back.
What's it say?
It says, "Call me Pissberry."
So give me a sleight of hand check, please.
Okay. Come on, not 20. No, it's a 4. Plus 2. A 6.
It falls to the ground. He picks it up and says, "Okay, that's great. Pissberry,
huh? Do you
huh?
get it?
Yes, I get it.
You're gonna get it."
Marches off.
I flip Lorvith, him off.
Lorvith and Hellgrammet, you see this as you all enter the atelier for the shopping montage, and you all have regrouped here.
I go up to John and say, "I need a gun. Do you have any guns?
Time traveling guns.
Do you have a time proof gun?"
You see John Arbuckle look at you confused and say, no.
Okay.
Can I interest the three of you in some magic spells, some crystals? Anyone wanna? What kind of prizes are you all working with, by the way? You all did receive prizes based on where you finished the last challenge. The lowest three players on the spiral staircase ended up with copper rewards. The three in the middle received silver, and the two at the highest received gold. Hellgrammet and Lorevith, you all were bringing up the rear. You both took home copper prizes. Rictus, you ended up middle of the pack.
Griffin, I think that is a huge misrepresentation of what Lorevith took away from that contest. Like, I might have had gold, copper in my pocket, but I've got, like, gold in my heart. You
got gold
I mean?
In your heart,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
So much like, what is the value of purpose? You know what I mean?
Yeah, come
like,
on, yeah, Griffin.
Absolutely. I think...
Did you even take that into account, that he has some purpose in his life and you should give him more stuff for it?
Hey, if Duber Sweetleaf hadn't finished dead last, I maybe
hey, Griffin,
you could have
swapped
prizes.
He watched his dad die in front of him. Maybe that gets your rocks hard. But
well, and he didn't even really know it was his dad. He thought it was his grandfather the whole time.
I'll say this. Randolph cast that magic spell. You never saw him die.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
You never saw me die.
Sorry.
You went a little Benoit Blanc there.
No, Dad.
No.
It's one of the things about the Adventure Zone is that, legally speaking, despite his, like, incredibly problematic, almost radioactive problematic nature, we must legally reference that one Kevin Spacey video he did where he tried to backdoor...
On Christmas Day where he tried to backdoor reboot fucking mm-hmm. House of Cards because you never saw
You never saw me. That's right.
Man, I got to download that soon. I'm worried he'll pay AI to erase it or something.
It's the most remarkable video. Okay, so who would like to go first? We'll do some spell summoning and we will do some... pulling items from the Orb of Conjuration.
I got silver.
I'll go first.
Oh, yeah. Just to clarify.
No, you go first. You got silver.
No. I wasn't saying I should go first. Like you had mentioned.
Oh, go ahead.
Sure. Okay, with the copper reward, I'm going to pull three spells at random that you will get to choose from. We'll do that a few times. Now that you have access to third level spells, they are now in the pool. And there's some juicy ones up in there. Okay, first spell, jump, first level spell, triples your jumping distance. We've got create bonfire, cantrip, and gaseous form, which is a third level spell.
Damn.
It lets you turn
start
into
a fire, jump good, turn to gas. I think I'm going to go ahead and take turn to gas.
Okay, gaseous form.
Just one thing for
sure.
The folks behind D&D, jump is a dumb spell. I know it's been in there for a long time, but if I ever in my real day-to-day life saw a wizard do some things with their hands and feet and then watch them jump 18 feet in the air, I would laugh at them. I would say that's a huge waste of time, a waste of magic.
And like 30 feet for it. If you saw a wizard, an old man in a robe. Just
really think about this way.
Do the long jump,
Justin,
and land in the stands?
That's crazy.
But he has. Do you understand the thing that I'm having problems with is that he has to then jump? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be other, like, manifest ladder. Anything could beat jumping. Like, just jumping good is not. It's not magical to me. I mean, there's a lot of bad spells that I just think jump's a pretty bad one.
Okay, next three. We've got Agonazar's Scorcher, which is a second level spell, shoots out like a wall of fire. We've got Distort Value, which is a first level spell, and we've got Message, which is a cantrip, allows you to send a telepathic message and receive one in response from the person if you're choosing.
Yep, I'm gonna get that one.
Okay. Take message and
just
the
for
last.
The, just because we're doing an audio podcast, though, it's just for the narrative. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, no, it can be like it'll be out loud for the show.
Yeah, but I'm saying like I'm taking that spell because it opens up better narrative possibilities, and that's really beautiful, I think.
Okay, and we've got cause fear, which is a first level spell.
That's natural, innate.
That's just what you do. We've got Flaming Sphere, a second level spell. Hopefully the last one will rhyme as well. Prestidigitation. So sadly, no.
God. A real crappy crop. Okay, what are these again?
Cause Fear, first level spell. Flaming Sphere, a second level spell. And Prestidigitation, a cantrip. Classic cantrip. Lets you do like a bunch of different sort of magic tricks.
Dumb shit.
Like, this was the spell of Randolph before he fell and added it into the rotation.
I'm gonna take Prestidigitation. I feel like even if it's kind of stupid, it's probably gonna be more useful than a bit. a big flaming sphere is a real big choice. You know what I mean? Like, you're really shooting the cannon indoors with a big flaming sphere.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, do the ritual you see as these stones float down from
the... You think you just, it's like you, when you understand something that you've been trying to understand for a long time, or you think it's like a memory coming back to you? What do you think it's like to learn a spell?
I mean, I think prestidigitation would be a very interesting sort of example. As you slot it into your grimoire, you are flooded with memories, only this time the memories are those of Randolph. You see him meeting some halfling folk while out on a sort of arcane study in the hill country. See him meeting Duber Sweetleaf and his friends. You see him sort of enjoying a pint of
is there
amber
a speed
draft
option, or is it
Pincer and
can it
Pike.
Go faster, or
you see him smelling the breeze like through a fast the high forward. Hills.
I'm looking for like a fast forward or triple.
You
am I muted?
See him enjoying
this is me and Travis, Dad. Are you guys still hearing the can or something?
Sweet pies of Madame Sugarfoot's bakery.
I take it back off.
Oh,
I guess.
How sweet. No, it's
still talking. I smash it with my heel. Please stop.
It is overwhelming. This is an ancient wizard who studied his sort of very utility spell for a really long time at like several prestigious academies. And you just all of a sudden now you remember all that stuff. And
now wait, okay, no wait. Now hold on. See, this is what I want to drill down into because I think it is going to be narratively important.
Sure,
there's a lot of information in a human mind.
Right.
We are all of this person's memory. Like, I don't. If I'm walking around with everything these people know, then I'm going to be able to narratively, I want to be able to remember stuff that they knew. And I feel like that's maybe not the intent that you're going for, that I have access to all these people's memories. But that's like, as you're describing it, that is what you're describing.
Give me an Arcana check, please.
Okay. It's a 19.
Okay. Holy shit. That's very good. You've done this a lot now, right? There's been like a 10 or so of these spell crystals containing the memories of the wizards who trained in their sort of unique gift, right? Everybody in this world who can use magic has one spell that they know that they sort of gain access to through rigorous study and practice. Pretty much all of the other crystals that you have claimed, the memories have been like pretty limited. The memories have been limited to exclusively the study, the time that they spent studying those spells. They were abstract things. You couldn't reach in and remember the favorite food of Ignacio, the Red Ranger whose stone you claimed in the first trial, right? You can just kind of remember the study that he had. With Randolph specifically, those memories that you saw of Duber Sweetleaf, that was kind of unique. Those weren't limited just to his studies. Or maybe they did. Maybe his use of prestidigitation to like delight the halflings of the hill country is sort of like tied up in it. But you definitely like, I think you have the realization right now that there can be a lot more that is transferred through these memory stones. And as a result, I think you also realize that like there's also a lot more that can be kind of harvested, if you want to think of it that way.
Do you? So the memories are, I guess what I was trying to drill down in is if it was like a sensation. You had talked about it when we got spells. I was trying to ascertain if that was a sensation of getting the spells or if that's something that we maybe still have access to. And it sounds like maybe these are like hidden files, maybe to use a computer terminology, or like read only, hidden down deep, got cracked through the ice.
That could be the takeaway from it. I think the more sort of straightforward takeaway, and again, you're gleaning a lot right now because of this very, very strong Arcana check. Randolph was maybe a cut above in like the classification, classic wizard magic user rankings. He was extremely, you know, proficient in this thing that he could do, right? Maybe his sort of inherent ability, his inherent sort of like spellcasting prowess, allowed him to pass on a little bit more than kind of what everyone else did. I'm not saying that now you are part, you know, well, I'm not going to muddy the waters at all. That is the sort of takeaway.
Okay, thanks. Sorry to...
Yep. No, I think that, hey, this is a big kind of like mechanic, and I'm glad that you're asking questions about it. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
Oh.
Heck yeah. I'll go again.
Without fail. Okay, Helgrammet.
Yes.
Three spells at random. You get to choose one of your value. The first is Blur.
Okay.
Love no, not band. The band Blur. Why did I just Google the word Blur? Your body becomes blurred, shifting. For the duration, any creature has disadvantage on attack rolls against you, unless their attack doesn't rely on sight or can see through illusions. That's a second level spell, by the way. Next is Witch Bolt. First level spell, shoot a lightning bolt at someone. If it hits, then you can spend the next turns also applying that damage automatically with your action, if you so choose, unless you are interrupted or break line of sight. Distort value, again, first level spell, allows you to trick someone into thinking something is worth more than it is. Blur, Witch Bolt, distort value.
Blur, please.
Okay. Next set, you have Phantom Steed, a third level spell. Of course, that lets you summon a phantom steed. Magnify Gravity, which allows you to, do just that in a selected area. Slow enemies down, do some crushing damage. That's the first level spell. And Ray of Frost, cantrip.
I'll take Magnify Gravity for 200, Alex.
He's going to try magnifying gravity.
I'm so glad we got that out of
yeah,
the
way. Yeah, I wasn't going to, and then he chose it.
Yeah, you always were going to.
Well, and I was going to, and then I took a drink of Celsius, and I threw it off.
You're welcome.
Okay, and we've got Charm Person, first level spell. We've got Counter Spell, third level spell. Use as a reaction, and you can cancel out spells of third level or lower, or roll to cancel out higher level ones. And Gust. Cantrip. Charm Person, Counter Spell, or Gust.
Man. Why couldn't they have been crappy choices like you gave Justin?
Yeah, come on, Griffin.
I did not give Justin anything. These were selected with a very, very advanced... patent pending spreadsheet.
You know what? I've never done counterspell. Let's try counterspell.
Okay. All right. You've got blur, magnify gravity, and counterspell. Those are some fun ones. Okay. Finally, we've got Rictus. Now, Rictus, your silver prize allows you to select a spell level. If you would like, and have your three spells drawn specifically from that pool of levels. So if you want to try and draw a cantrip, if you want to try and draw a third level spell, now that you have that slot, you can target those, and then all of them will be selected from that.
Well then, Griffin, let's start with third level then. Can we draw three third level spells, please?
All right. We've got Pulse Wave. Allows you to shoot out a wave of force and either push or pull people and objects towards you and deal damage. We've got Hypnotic Pattern. That allows you to create a sort of illusory shape in the sky. Anyone who sees it and fails their check will become incapacitated until roused from their, well, hypnosis.
Uh-huh.
And Thunderstep lets you teleport sort of short range, and wherever you appear, deal potential thunder damage to anyone nearby as you let out a booming crack of sound that reaches 300 feet away.
I'll take Thunderstep, please.
Okay. What would you like next?
Such a good
You
question.
Can also, if you just want three random spells, if you don't want to target a thing
Can I have some cantrips, please?
Yes, you may. We've got Minor Illusion. We've got Chill Touch. And we've got Ray of Frost.
Hmm. What's Minor Illusion do?
Minor Illusion, it has some restrictions on it. I think it can't. Let me see. You create the sound or image of an object within range that lasts for the duration. The duration is 1 minute. It can be a sound ranging from whisper to a scream. It can be a voice, a lion's roar, beating of drums, any other sound you choose, or an image that cannot create sound, light, smell, or any other sensory effect.
And you said the third one was Ray of Frost? I'll take that one, please.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, and then just three random spells, please.
All righty. Mirror Image. Second level spell lets you create three copies of yourself and then potentially have enemies attack those copies instead of yourself. Lightning Bolt. Third level spell. Shoots out a big old lightning bolt.
Uh-huh.
And we've got Silvery Barbs. That is a first level spell that allows you to, I believe, force disadvantage on an enemy who fails a resistance check and grant advantage to an ally.
Silvery Barbs. Silvery Barbs.
Seems like Dad is quite taken with Silvery Barbs as an option.
I see.
Actually, that was just from my one-man show, Burl Ives, A Man and His Music.
It's really good, Dad.
That's beautiful, Dad. Yeah, sorry, Dad's bro always gets me. Ever since we were kids. He's like a second dad.
He was like a first dad to me.
Like a first dad. When Dad would show up with the baking soda in his beard and hair and say, "It's me, Burl." We would know we were in for a good night. We knew we would at least have a dinner tonight. Burl always fed us. That's one thing I loved about Burl.
He always went to KFC first, Burl did.
Bring he us would a keep us up so late with his sick.
So,
that was
so,
the only thing.
I'm so tired the next day.
Get in bed and say,
such a headache.
One more hit from Dino.
I'm going to take Mirror Image, please.
All righty. That's a fun one. That one, it's when you have more images, when an enemy attacks you, you roll a d20. And if it's above a certain threshold, it just hits one of your illusions.
Yes.
Instead. Okay, so that is the spell draft. And then you see John Arbuckle hold up the glowing, pulsating purple orb of conjuration and says, okay, guys, you know the deal. Hands in. Good luck. And there's some good stuff in there. Maybe you guys will get some choice cuts this time. You got the Snickle Fritz last time, but I feel good about your odds this time.
Do the tiers of rewards matter at all here?
They do, yes. For the copper finishers among you, you will be rolling with disadvantage. We take the lower number. With the silver, you just roll straight up.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go first this time.
Okay.
Because I went last time. I got an 18.
Holy shit, dude. Good time for it. You reach in to the Orb of Conjuration, and with an 18...
The darkness reaches back. No? Okay.
You reach in, and you feel your hand clasp around a wooden handle, and as you pull it out, you retrieve a somewhat mundane-looking, four-paned lantern. Glowing inside of it, you see a white flame that is burning within, and it appears to have these sort of like very faint tendrils of darkness kind of whipping out of this white flame periodically. You feel a sort of unnatural cold coming from this lantern. This is from our listener, Steven, who sent in this submission, as did all of our listeners to the AdventureZoneCast@gmail.com email account, a lantern called the Shadow Seer's Lantern. It grants the wielder the following effect. Once per day, you can cast the darkness spell centered on the lantern. The wielder of the lantern can see through the darkness unimpaired.
Oh, cool.
Okay. John Arbuckle is visibly stoked as a non-trash item is finally kind of retrieved. Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Okay. Roll with disadvantage, please.
Well, 19 and a 1.
No. Okay, so with a 1, you reach in and you also grab a handle. And you're like, hell yeah, more magic lanterns, baby. and you pull out it looks like a lightly used toothbrush. And it has sort of just a small kind of plasticky handle. It's kind of a faint aquamarine color. The bristles, like, if you inspect them very, very closely, you would know someone has used this toothbrush before. But you can feel it pulsing with a tremendous power. You've retrieved from our listener, Marianne, who also submitted an item that was chosen last time, the truth brush. This is very appropriate for you, Dad. Once per day, bestows a curse upon anyone who uses it to brush their teeth, causing them to only speak the truth for the next 10 minutes as though under the effects of the spell Zone of Truth.
That is appropriate and is right up there with the never-rotting banana peel I got last time.
Yes.
Probably from her. I don't remember.
I think Marianne did the glasses, the Bernard's glasses that let you dress up a dead body and pretend that it is alive. So yeah, it is a toothbrush. It's like the spell Zone of Truth, but someone has to brush their teeth with it.
Sure.
To get it to work. So a bit more kind of context sensitive, but you, again, rolled a 1 on the table.
Yeah.
And Juice, your roll with disadvantage, please.
Yeah, here it comes. Looks like I'm going to give you a 10 and a...
That's a 1?
That's a 1. I'm not sure if that is... Let me turn my head to... Nope, it's a 1.
Yeah, it's a 1. You got a 1-0 and a 0-1.
Yeah, so with disadvantage, okay. I'm not... I guess we'll go with the 1.
I guess the good news is that you are pulling up the next highest 1 because Dad took the 1. Which was the truth brush.
I'm not happy. I'm going to be honest, Griff. That's how I'm feeling right now. Just not thrilled. Kind of wanted a cool new thing.
Yeah, no, you reach in and you grab what feels like a very sort of small tin can. And you try to let it go real quick because you're like, I want something else. But you just keep grabbing onto this one small tin can. You pull out a small rectangular tin, and looking at the top of the tin, it's got some tiny little greasy looking fish on it. It's got a pull tab lid, and you see a label printed on the top that says "Sneaky Sardines," and this is from our friend Michael, who says, "Well, he doesn't say this; it is written." It is an unassuming tin of sardines. When opened in front of any physically locked door, the lid peels up in the exact configuration of the key required to open said door. The key magically silences the lock mechanism and door as to provide a sneaky entrance for the player, giving advantage on stealth or sleight of hand for the door. And you can also eat the sardines for 10 temporary hit points. It is one-time use, and Michael has included, please recycle. So I don't know if there's a curse that's bestowed if you throw it in with the rest of the rubbish. But these are the sneaky sardines. Trade you my toothbrush.
I don't see this in the default, so I think I might have to make a custom for this one.
Oh, it's not.
No, that's
weird. It's not in the default list of items?
Isn't that strange?
That's really weird.
Hold on, let me enable some of the extended universe. Nope.
Turn on the critical role stuff.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. They call it Matt's Merciless Muscles, and it's if you open this tin of muscles, Mercer will come open the door for you. That's what it says.
That's okay, very, very good.
That works.
Okay. You all now armed with new magics and items of questionable power have equipped yourselves. Your opponents have been selected and you return to your quarters, awaiting the following day and the decisive duel to the death that it will bring.
I also write out my will.
you write out your living will, which is, I mean, you do.
Shouldn't
have
it be
this,
a dying will?
It's just a will. I think it's just called a will.
At that point, yeah.
You don't write your will after you're dead.
That's actually, I have it set up.
Yeah, actually, this is a necromancer, so I can't.
Yeah.
He might.
Well, no, I told ChatGPT that I don't like AI. I don't use it for a lot of stuff, but I did tell it to write up my will if I do beef it, because I can't be bothered to do that.
See, I told it to solve some impossible logic puzzles after I die.
Is this still the show, for God's sake?
I don't think so, yeah.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.